This episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which I was lucky enough to head out to Barcelona and see being unveiled at its launch, and to chat to athletes like Sharon Nakidi, who won the New York Marathon a few years ago, who does all of her easy and steady runs in this pair of shoes. And then we've set Jess from the Running Channel a very specific challenge to train for 12 weeks for her fastest, hopefully ever, 10K, which is also back out in Barcelona.
Yeah, she is loving training in this shoe. And I think it's important as well, because we're so lucky we get to test lots of different shoes, but we do know that some people just want that one pair that will do everything. So Jess has been doing her long runs, interval sessions, and she will be tackling the final 10K in the Under Armour Infinite Elite shoes.
Yeah, big focus on endurance and a brand new foam, which provides extra energy return and looks after you on even your longest runs. So if you want to know more, head to the link in the show notes. This is the Running Channel podcast with me, Andy Badley, my lovely co-host, Sarah Hartley, and crusty pants over there, Rick Kelsey, who will go to any lengths to cheat in a Running Channel challenge.
Crusty pants,
yeah.
Oh, I know what we're talking about.
Because you put your crusts down your pants. I can't believe you've remembered that.
I have remembered that. We discussed this after last week's podcast.
Rick told us.
And I've been holding on to it for this week's introduction.
If you've ever watched the Running Channel Pizza Mile, where did those crusts go? Down Rick Kelsey's shorts.
Yeah, yes. There were reasons behind this. Imagine how long that video would have gone on if I hadn't put them down my pants.
You told us you wore specific underwear that day that would accommodate crusts from pizzas.
Why did I give so much away?
Is it because you didn't want your hair to go curly? That's what my mum always used to say if you eat your crusts.
I've got my makeup on. Let's get on with it.
Okay, today we're going to be talking about what is the hardest running distance. We're each going to fight our corner, so we should probably get stuck in.
Let's crack in.
Let's crack on. Oh, sorry.
Mate. Oh yes, Sarah. Let's crack in, shall we?
Let's crack into it.
I hate you both so much. Although, you know what that reminds me? I really want to crack into an Easter egg right now.
Yeah.
Is how I would use that phrase.
So what's the latest and the earliest that Easter can come?
When they put the eggs on the shelves in the supermarket, and however much restraint I have of eating my last Easter
egg. I'm assuming Rick was asking the real question as to what the earliest weekends and latest weekends it can fall in the year.
Come on, you got a first, you should know this.
There'll still be an Easter egg in February, and I'm all here for it.
I think it's the 25th of March is the earliest.
Oh, great, no one asked.
And I think the latest is the 30th of April.
Did one of the six prime ministers tell you that?
Can't remember which one.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up, isn't it? You're so big time. Anyway.
How's your week of running been?
Right. What is the biggest thing you've ever lost at a race?
Pride, dignity.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those. All
as
of those
in
things.
Like
I've
an,
lost
item.
A shoe. An item. An item. You lost a shoe?
Yeah.
Right.
What did you lose?
I lost my car at the weekend.
I thought you were going to say you lost a child.
Oh, but okay. No.
So we recently, got a new car.
Yes.
Right. But I ran out of battery on my phone, so I thought I'll go to the car and get my power pack.
Yeah.
Big race, lots of people, lots of parking areas, lots of different fields, lots of places you can park.
You can't remember.
I no longer have an app that I can find it because my phone's dead. Yeah. You know where the car is. So steward finds me in the wet, just looking a bit aimless.
Were you just pressing your key, hoping that you'd hear it?
Hoping I could hear it.
Oh, and the guy goes, did you do the thing where you press the key to your forehead and then you become an antenna and
it gives you more range? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I think it's even more if you put it like slightly in your mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I couldn't hear it and it wasn't doing anything. So the guy comes up to me and he goes, hi, mate. Can I help you?
Are you okay?
Yeah. And he probably thought you were trying to steal a car.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that would put pizza crust down his?
Yeah,
down his
pants? Yeah, you're that guy.
I don't trust you. Caviar on his face.
Yeah. I don't trust you in this car park.
I don't know what I even told you. So he said to me, "Well, what car is it?" And I went, "I'm sorry, I don't know."
You sure?
I couldn't remember what car it was. No.
Do you remember what colour it was?
I remembered what colour it was. Yeah. I said, yeah, no, it's grey.
That would have narrowed it down.
What type of car is it? And then, he's like, well, show me your key. And I was like, oh, right, okay, yeah. So I knew the brand of
the
car.
To be fair, it is
but
actually...
But not the type of car it was.
I couldn't remember
what it was. Yeah. Like, and I was like, so it's got two kids' seats in the back. It's got a Sainsbury's bag in it. and it's grey and it's big. It's big. He's a, and he's is like, before so, or after so the guy event? Went to me, so you don't know what you drive. And I was like,
I mean, to I be just fair, when you're in it, know?
That is quite a Rick Kelsey thing, though, isn't it?
No, that was so me.
He's,
so
he's
someone...
just used to being driven around.
I don't.
I often finish very late or start very early. That's why I get driven around a little bit.
Yeah, that's
in the other jobs.
Yeah.
Do you,
cheat
anyway.
do you cheat at those jobs as well?
Yeah. Can we not? We're going off topic here.
So did you eventually find it?
Yeah, it took me 2 hours and kind of ruined Mother's Day. But anyway, yeah, I found the car. Yeah. We were happy in the end. Anyway, found the car. Turns out I know what I drive now.
Excellent. Yeah. Well done, mate.
Love that.
Noted it in the phone.
Oh, yeah. Great. I had also had a very fun weekend.
Yeah.
So this is coming in a video, so I won't spoil too much of it, but I filmed my entire week of training and my long run. I know I said I was going to go to the trails. Couldn't be bothered. It was the worst week
couldn't
ever.
Couldn't be bothered. It was pretty horrible weather on. So it was a Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday, because I knew it was raining on Sunday. Okay. So it was nice. It was nice weather, but it would just been the worst week. Yeah. Like, you prepare to watch Sarah have a bad week. If you're going to watch that video, it's terrible.
Started as a bad week, didn't it? Because the first thing you have to do is this every week with me and Rick.
Yeah, it was awful.
Just set you up for a fall.
Yeah, it was so bad. There were some good moments. But anyway, so I decided, I was like, and it was 32K at a comfortable pace, which is the worst thing you can give me.
Because
like,
you've got no focus
so
in it to break
boring.
It up.
32K.
Yeah, it's so long. It's so boring. So I was like, right, okay, I'm going to chunk it. Podcast favorite. Yeah. So I decided I was going to run 2 park run, then do park run and then run home.
Yeah.
Nice, breaking it up. Got to park run and they had to delay it for 15 minutes because their defib wasn't working, defibrillator.
Oh, yeah.
So it was incredible. And you can actually watch this unfold in the video, but you just saw how people's minds work. Because like no one was angry, like it's a free 5K, like no one's that annoyed. But half the people just stood still.
Yeah.
Half the people sprinted off and were like, right, I'm just going to do
as
it
in
anyway.
Done. Yeah, as in, oh,
just, yeah, they just went off and did it anyway. And then I was in the group that was like, well, I need to get a long run done. I'll get a couple of extra. Because they were like, it's going to be about 15 minutes. So if you want to go, you can come back. So I just like went off, got a couple of extra kilometers in and then did park run.
Oh, nice. Lovely. You didn't have to add them on at the end.
No. So that's good. That is a bonus. Yeah. It was quite good.
Does that say a lot about patience of the British public?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised we just didn't all form a queue.
That's what I was thinking. Everyone loves a queue. I'm surprised we went straight in there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, also, I spotted that your nemesis, we've talked about it last week or the week before on the podcast, where Tito, our videographer, had cheekily started 1 second behind you on the starting mat of a 10K to make sure that when you cross the line together at the end, you would have ended up 1 second faster.
Yeah.
He also did a long run this weekend at marathon pace. Uh-huh. And it's the big showdown, isn't it, in a few weeks. He's actually doing Manchester Marathon, then you're doing London Marathon.
Yeah, so it's literally a week apart.
He's in good shape.
Clicked on Strava, saw that come up and just went, I'm so happy for you, but so annoyed because it was so good.
I saw you commented saying, well done, Tito. Was that through gritted teeth?
Yeah, it was. I was like, I need to put on a good show here. I need to appear the bigger person.
Have you noticed, actually, Sarah, a lot of the people, kind of like the back office staff, the people who actually run this show, have actually recently got rather good at running.
I know, really annoying.
Yeah, whereas before it was just that, you know, I couldn't really get very far. It's only
you that's not really the back office staff. So me and Sarah actually put in a shift all week. Oh, really? You just show up as talent. You just come in, you say, I've got a taxi here. I've got a taxi here because I couldn't find my car. I'm the talent. What's on my rider today? I will drink only this brand of water.
Ginger shots.
That is genuinely my favourite question of like when we meet people and they sometimes are like, so what do you do?
Yeah.
And when me and you actually say that we do stuff that isn't just like messing about. Yeah. They're like, wow.
Yeah. We're real adults.
You can actually have a job.
Proper
and then when we're like, no, Rick does just piss about, they're like, oh, fine. Okay, don't worry.
Well, he has
bring my
jobs.
Makeup with me.
Yes, he has.
Yeah,
because you have time to do it. Some of us were doing emails before this.
That's true. I was actually doing emails. I've got some terrific guests for the Running Channel meets.
Yes, which is coming very soon.
Yeah.
So you just look out because it'll be in your regular Running Channel podcast feed with a different artwork. So you'll be able to identify it, be able to see it. And we're going to try and produce those as regularly as we can. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Mm.
I've also been doing a little bit of running, but not 32 kilometers.
Oh yeah. No. How far?
Much less. I actually ran 50 odd K last week, which was my highest mileage of 2024. Yeah. But real focus on quality at the moment because I'm doing this time trial event where I'm trying to run as fast as I can over a much shorter distance. So it's
1 mile.
Well, that funny story. to this point, I have thought it's I literally 30 minutes before this podcast, I was told that it might not be a mile. It's 1K. So
as fast as you can. for 1,000 meters.
Yes.
That's not even your distance.
No, quite.
Yeah, but you would have had to do a 1K time trial in training though, right?
Yeah, it had always been the real benchmark indicator of what shape I was in for the mile would be a 1K time trial. So right. That's the last big training session I'd have done a couple of weeks before the Olympics or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
How fast can you run a kilometre?
Well, I can't tell you because there's a competition running at the moment. By the time this podcast goes out on Saturday morning, so a lot of people listening to this, I'll already have done this time trial.
Okay. Sarah, give us your ballpark. Ballpark.
Well, I was guessing your mile time, like a lot of other people.
Yes, I know. We might have messed this up a little bit. If you are listening to this, I'm so sorry because it was something slightly out of our control and we may have messed up here, and particularly my training, because psychologically, I've been focused entirely on how to run this mile. And then at the last minute, we're pivoting.
What, stuff out of our control on the running channel?
No.
Really? No.
Yeah, all the time. I think, so based off of the fact that you've run a, was it 2:45 in that?
Yeah, roughly that.
Shoe thing. I think based off of that and the fact that you're so competitive, I feel like you're going to go pretty hard on this.
Oh, yeah.
So
and run 2:10.
2:10. 2:10 will be the world record for the kilometre.
Oh, is that a world record?
Yeah.
No, surely someone's done it under 2 minutes.
No.
Well, that would be
they have.
So Sarah reckons you're going to run a world record at the kilometre.
I promise you.
I promise. Right, so there'll be a pause in the edit here while Sarah Googles what the 1K time is. I'm 100% confident.
Sarah said 2:10. Well, I was going to go 4:10, so.
Okay, well, I'm confident, hopefully.
In between
it depends on how fast I go in the first minute or so.
Yeah.
As to whether I end up walking because I've just totally overcooked it, because that could realistically happen.
Ha! You are wrong.
I'm absolutely not.
American speed skater.
No, keep reading. Keep reading, Sarah. Keep reading. You're so smart.
American speed skater. Broke the world's men's 1,000.
You were so happy to prove me wrong.
I was thinking, bloody hell, that's fast. It was 1:05.
Are you allowed to speed skate, Andy?
No, I'm not. Although I did, we've talked about this, that I look like a hovercraft, so I look like I was race walking. But I've never been accused of speed skating.
Okay, all right, so the fastest is actually 2:11. Okay, so like 2:30.
All right, so it would be breaking a record if Andy does 2:10 at
I swear, though, I've seen if you wanted to sign up, it was from like 1:50 to... Anyway.
All right, well, good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Good
luck. Sure, I've been doing lots of fast stuff and my legs hurt.
Yeah.
Is it summer?
I think that could be described as the hardest running distance if you did it.
Look at that
2:10.
Segue. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so I wanted to put this debate because I know that we all enjoy different distances and let's just caveat this, there is no right answer to this, but for the next however long Rick lets us go for, we're going to argue what is the hardest running distance, because I personally would argue an ultramarathon.
It depends on who. So I think it depends on who you are. So it's been fascinating for me in the last year or so talking to what I'd consider to be really hardcore athletes, super fast marathon runners, also a few of the best ultra runners in the world, and they were saying that they would rather be out on the trails in the mountains with hundreds of meters of elevation and be out there for 36 hours or whatever running crazy distances than run 5K. They were saying that they think that 5K is so hard that they'd rather do these bonkers ultramarathons.
But why? Because 5K is all out.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a totally different kind of pain.
Do you think, though, if you asked, do you think it's the opposite of what you enjoy doing? So like for you, for example, if I said right now, for the rest of your life, you have to either race 5K and below, and that's all you're training for, that's all you're racing, or you can only train for 100-mile plus distances in the mountains, what would you say would be harder?
Oh, the 100 miles plus in the mountains.
But that's the thing. But then if you asked a person who trains for 100 miles in the mountains, you can only train for one or the other, they would probably say 5K.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a split in the running channel office, I would say. I'm probably out there listening to the podcast of what people's psychology lends itself to. Mm-hmm. So my psychology doesn't lend itself to things without a clear physical marker of a finish line, for example. So it's really different for me to run a 3-minute rep in training or a 5-minute effort in training where I've just got to run until my watch beeps versus doing what is essentially the equivalent thing on the track or on the road where I know I'm running and it will take me about 5 minutes, but I know I'm running from point A to point B and that's the finish line.
Yeah.
And I'm way better when I have a finish line.
Yeah, so it's like there's, but then you can put that on the other end of the spectrum as well. Like there are 24-hour races.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I'd be so bad at that. I would get like 10 hours in and just be like, well, I'm just going to sit down for 5 hours now and just like eke it out.
Yeah.
Whereas there are some people who much prefer that compared to if you were going to say you're running like 100 kilometers or 100 miles in 24 hours, they would prefer to have the 24 hour time limit as their thing that they're working towards compared to the distance.
So, and I've sort of, I've sidelined myself a little bit. The point I was actually thinking of was more that the psychology would be those that can endure for a long time, but they're not at their max, but they can just keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, and that's not me. Whereas, and then there's other people like, that I'd say I fall into this category where I'm willing to go properly 100%, like to the red line and just beyond, to the point where if I exercise for 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it might be, then I'm absolutely done. Like, and I'm probably going to be sick from the lactate that's accumulated and all that sort of stuff, which is a different mentality.
But then see, where does that put me? Because I'm not prepared to do either. Of like, I will not hit my red line, not doing it.
Yeah. Well, you normally do it in the first minute of whatever distance you're
trying
to do. Yeah,
I'm not enjoying it. But equally, I don't really want to be out for that long either. So that's why at the moment I quite enjoy the challenge of the marathon, which is quite hard because I'm willing to, you know, go quite close to the line, but not quite there. And for a relatively long period of time compared to a 5K.
Yeah.
And I do find it quite hard. Rick?
I think it's based on your personality, isn't it?
Yeah. What would you say is the hardest for you?
Whatever the next distance is up from what I'm currently training from.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Or to be fair, down. So like what are you currently training for at the moment?
So 10K.
10Ks.
Yeah.
So would you, if I asked you to race an all out 5K or an all out half marathon right now, how would you feel?
All out half marathon would be harder.
Really?
I'd say so, yeah. Because I'm kind of going all out 5K most weeks now. To the point that I do feel physically sick when I get to the end, but still kind of get that runner's high about 30 seconds later.
Mm.
But I'm not, during the 5K at the moment, I'm probably not enjoying it because I'm pushing as absolutely as hard as I can.
Yeah.
So I do.
I just don't enjoy that. I don't think I.
But aren't you doing, don't you do that?
Well, so I don't think I told you guys this, but because there was too much to catch up on. But like a few weeks ago, I went and did a track workout and it was the pyramid one.
Yeah.
And so you're getting faster and faster and faster towards the end. And I think I just got like too excited. And I went and did a 400 meter basically PB.
Mm.
At PB pace. And got to the end of it and I was like, oh, I feel sick. Yeah. And I was like, don't enjoy this. That was too hard.
Because you went all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas I did 8K last week, just in the middle of the week, and it was at a decent pace. It was about kind of 5:15 a kilometer, 5:20 a kilometer.
Nice.
And I finished it and I thought, wow, I feel really fit. I really enjoy that. As in that it was a nice, you know, it was crisp morning. It was a nice day to get out. But then going all out on the Saturday, just like, whoa, absolutely knackered.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It took its toll on you a few days later.
Yeah.
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 I think there's a different kind of hardness we could talk about, or difficulty, which is, I mean, when we did this episode on, or an episode on what's the best race distance, I think I was advocating for the shorter distances, obviously. But I'm thinking about the mentality that I had to have for the 1500 meters or the 1 mile or even the 5K, but specifically talking about the 1500 meters. You're running for 3 and a bit minutes, mm-hmm. all out. And there were two aspects to it. One was I knew before I hit the start, I was standing on the start line, how much that was going to hurt. So like after about 2 minutes, it's really hard. Like you're going at your absolute max. And there's people around you who you're trying to read the situation and work out whether they can keep going or not and which of you is more tired. So there's this mental game of it. So yeah, there's the difficulty of knowing that pain. Whereas in the marathon for me, that I felt great and it actually felt quite comfortable until 20, 25K.
Yeah.
So it's a much more delayed onset of the pain.
Yeah.
Well, how long would you say, so after you'd like raced hard at the Olympics, for example, how long after that race was it before you felt like human again?
Well, I'd often have, so the Olympics and the World Champs, and you'd have 3 rounds, so you'd have to come and race again about 36 hours later, probably, usually, that kind of time. So you'd have a day off in between.
Because that's the other thing that's hard as well, is that once you get into the category of like the longer distances, there's a whole other element of hard because you're going so hard and putting your body through so much that you have to take a whole week off, or like you don't have that rounds element to it.
Yeah.
From like a competition level.
Yeah, and I appreciate my experience is different to most people aren't running rounds at a championships and they're not running for 3 or 4 minutes.
No, but I would say like if you're going and racing a 5K, chances are
you might want to run again a few days later.
Yeah. Whereas with a marathon, most people are like, I am good. Yeah. See you in a bit.
Yeah. The shoes are definitely helping with recovery, aren't they? I think people are recovering more quickly from tough efforts and things like that.
That's interesting.
I would say though as well that that's probably relative to like whether it's the first time that you've done it.
Yes.
Because I remember like, so I ran 32K on Saturday and on Sunday I was like, whoa. My legs feel all right.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Well, they feel all right.
Yeah, they actually feel okay. And I think just because I'm in a stage now where they can, they're kind of like, they're used to
not the first time.
But you didn't go out on Sunday. You didn't go out on Sunday.
No, I know. I haven't. This is Monday and I still haven't.
So you reckon, Andy, that the shoes are actually aiding people's recovery to such an extent that people can run more often because of them?
Definitely. If I think about the shoes that even that I was running in, it was just focused on cutting weight. And so there was hardly any midsole foam. The spikes and stuff I was racing in were just basically bits of cardboard almost. So you don't have the stack height now and the foam and the cushioning and the reduction in the impact experience is quite a big factor.
Do you know what? I last week ran three times in a week and I did something that I made a video about saying I should never do, which is run 2 days in a row because I knew it didn't work for my body. And then on Saturday, for the first time since my set of operations, I've been in pain in my knee.
Oh, no.
My that knee. And I think it's accumulatively doing the days.
Yeah. How's it feeling now?
Still sore. Yeah. Okay. I still think it's just a minor setback. I don't think it's anything actually that serious. It's inflamed. It found it uncomfortable, not having that day's rest.
But I do think that's a good lesson. And if you know what works for your body,
having that day off.
Yeah, being tempted to just squeeze something in or take a risk when you're in your position in particular where you have had those serious problems is like, it's rarely a good idea.
Even if you haven't had like serious injury problems, I run four times a week. And so between most runs, I have a day off. And then last week I did like two easy runs back to back and then had to do a tempo run. And even I was like, whew.
It's a lot.
3 days in a row. Yeah. It was a bit much.
I had another aspect of difficulty in terms of distances as to whether we could think about it like this. Again, going back to the shorter distances, I knew that if I made a mistake, so if in terms of racing, you're watching the people around you to see if someone makes a break for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss that in the 1500 meters, you're not paying attention, you're in the wrong spot, you're boxed in, surrounded by other people where you can't get out, then it's game over. Or if you just have a bad 200 meters, like literally for 30 seconds, you switch off somehow, not focused, you lose a couple of seconds, and then the Olympic qualifying time that you're chasing, you can't get it back. You can't refine those 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas in a marathon, you can afford to drift off a little bit mentally. You can you have a little bit more leeway. And, and I felt less pressure on that kind of thing because you know that you can make up 2 or 3 seconds.
I would caveat that with, if you go out and race a 5K and it doesn't go how you want it to go, you've still got that 8, 10 weeks of training in your legs. Obviously not at world champs level because they're not going to rearrange that. But like for the average person, you can go do that race. And then if it doesn't go to plan, you can go, right, okay, give myself 2 to 4 weeks, race again. For a marathon, this is the thing that's scaring me so much right now, is that I have literally dedicated so far 11 weeks of my life to this. Yeah. And if it's raining, if something goes wrong, if like the fueling doesn't go right, there are like so many little things and that is it. That's the day. If I want to race another marathon.
But if it's raining, you've trained in the rain.
Yeah, I know, but it just makes it so much harder and I really don't want it to rain or be too hot. I need perfect weather conditions. So if we can just all start, you know, hoping for the British
like
weather to be on our side.
Either raining or really hot.
Brilliant. Thanks, Rick.
You are right, though. I think, and that's the closest thing that we've probably experienced in our running careers, that what you're saying there is what I felt.
Hey, I am a very fast elite athlete.
nothing about pace. It's about that feeling of it hinges on this day.
Yeah.
And we've put you in that position before with trying to run that 10K in under 45 minutes a few
terrifying.
Years ago. But it's different pressure, right? Where you know that, yes, you'll get another chance down the line at some point, but it's this one day that you've built up for and we're putting it as a video on the running channel or whatever it might be. And then you feel a lot more kind of
That's true, actually. And especially like, I do think I'm going to watch, I don't know much of what it's like to be an elite athlete, but if you think of like the pressure for the sports in the Olympics where there's hardly any coverage in the 4 years in between, like that is a lot of pressure for like, if you have an off day, which everyone does.
Yeah.
Like you can't be on your best every single race day for loads of different reasons.
No, absolutely not. So I think in summary, the hardest race distance is the one that you put the most pressure on yourself to go out and achieve. And maybe the one that goes against your natural psychology of what you like to try and take
or
off.
Even you're doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
I think makes it harder. But what do you think? Email in podcast@therunningchallenge.com. What is the hardest race distance? Do you have some more fuel to add to the fire that we can debate next time? Let us know. But now it's almost time for your questions. But first, we've got some news to discuss. Don't forget, this episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite shoes. Now, at The Running Channel, we bang on all the time about how if you want to run fast, you need to run slow. I'm talking about the 80-20 rule.
Yes, you need to do the vast majority of your training at an easier or steadier pace. And you need an everyday pair of running shoes that you trust to do that. And the Infinite Elite has brand new cushioning technology in the form of Under Armour's Hover Plus. So that's designed to support you for the whole of even your longest runs with extra cushioning and energy return. So that's what this is all about.
Yeah, and if you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.
News time, so sports bras and funnies. Andy.
Well, I thought it was funny. My lovely wife was setting up family news, was setting up a workout on her watch, yeah. And she was programming in, and then she came back and she looked rather cross, because instead of programming in 200 meter recoveries, she'd programmed in 20 meter recoveries. And I don't think my raucous laughter was the sympathy she was looking
20
for.
20 meters.
So what did she do? Did she just give herself 20 meters? Or did she pause her watch?
I think she must have paused her watch eventually, but I don't think she knew what was going on to start with. She's like, what's happening?
That's like the worst thing ever though, because you either have to recover for longer, but it's not recorded. So then you've lost miles.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. That sounds so awful.
There we go. This is the sympathy she was looking for.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I think though the funniest one I've ever done is when it's too long. So I've like programmed it in
2 miles.
Yeah, I've programmed in like a good like 2K recovery between like 400 meter
reps. Sounds great. Lunch.
Yeah. Picnic blanket. Yeah.
Top tip on that, actually, to make it a little bit more controllable for me as I've been doing these faster things, I've been programming in my recoveries as like lap button press. Mm. So I can see how long I've had and then go off.
So
you know, because I'm often on areas where I need to cross a road before I then do the next bit.
You have to show me how to do that.
There's also, if anyone's using the Runner app, you can set so like the workouts automatically go into your watch, but you can set it so it is open recoveries. Yes. However, every single time I go to the track, I forget to make it open. Every single time I do a tempo run in the park, it's open.
Yeah.
And so I have to think about it.
But Well,
so you just recover until you press the lap button on your watch, and then that sets you onto the next interval.
You can also do it so that your intervals are lap button presses. So if you are on the track, it's not off your watch's GPS.
Ah.
It's off like lap button press. But anyway, do you want to know something interesting about sports bras?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So,
can you get special ones with pizza crust pockets?
Oh my God, no, but you can get, so some of the sports bra inventions are incredible. You can get like key pockets, you can get a phone pocket in the front, I think I've seen recently. I've got one with a phone pocket in the back. So you could have, you know,
like
a baguette.
All running gear just needs to be designed in a better way.
Yeah, let's revisit that for a minute.
Of all of the things that you whip out, a sword or an arrow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that you'd pull out a sword, but a baguette was what you thought.
Yeah, it's a running joke of like all the things that you can put in a hydration pack. So like, for example, Tom from the Running Channel once did a whole, I don't know if it was a hike or a run, but he had a sausage roll.
How do I remember this?
The front of his back. He was buzzing when he got it out. Anyway, sports bras.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a brief overview, but if you're interested, definitely go and read the full post. So it's from someone called Shalia Kip from the US. They basically realized that there was very little research into sports bras, which there should be more. And they were saying, is it actually going to affect performance due to how tight your waistband is?
The underwire area or whatever, the chest strap.
Right, so like some sports bras are literally just like pull on, it's not adjustable at all. Yeah. Other ones will work like a normal bra where you've got different levels of adjustment.
Yeah.
I had always thought, so I was actually talking to some of the other people who wear sports bras in the office, and we all said this morning, like, oh yeah, well, we've all got that one where like it's a bit tight,
but you keep it.
It's better to be too tight than too loose, surely.
Yeah.
No. So they did research, basically, they stuck like a balloon catheter into the waistband of the bra. And then
to measure the pressure that it's putting on your chest.
Yeah. And then they measured, it was all to do with like VO2 max and how that would affect you over a marathon. And basically the results, I don't want to say this wrong, for an individual running a 3 hour marathon, a 2% improvement in VO2 max would equate to a 3 minute improvement.
Wow.
In VO2, sorry. So you could see real performance benefits if you loosened your sports bra. And that would say...
So did they see that some sports bras being too tight would reduce your VO2 by 2%?
On average, we saw a 1.3% increase in VO2 from the loose to tight condition.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so if you loosened it enough to give you room for your ribs and lungs to expand.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. Okay. You can, I'm sure, have a look, like if you wear a sports bra, have a look at where you can get it fitted. Because I've always thought the key thing is... The other thing, your boobs move in a figure of eight when you run. So it's not just like up and down. So there's loads of interesting stuff on it. And basically, please do more research because there is not enough out there. But check the tightness of your sports bra. Don't make it too loose, but just have a little think. Are you wearing one that's too tight? Can you make it a bit looser? Might help your marathon time.
I've had the same thoughts for chest straps for heart rate.
Sometimes
I have to wear it quite tight, otherwise it slips down. But then if I wear it too tight, I experience what you've described there, which is you're just like, oh, is that restricting my breathing a little bit? Like that 1 or 2%. So,
well, it's interesting with stuff like that, because obviously there are like different heart rate monitors that we're seeing now of like people are just using wrist or arm or like other stuff. Go on, what are the questions?
Okay, starting off with Rob from Southampton.
Hello, Rob.
Hi, Rob. What are your thoughts regarding overtaking another runner at the finish line? Oh, hello. Is there a point where it's poor etiquette? I did a run where I dodged in front of the person as I was entering the funnel. I almost knocked over the person in front. Oops. I'm possibly a little competitive. This has happened to me a few times recently.
Oh,
in finishing
funnels. You've done it or people have done it to
you? No, people have done it to me. And I thought, well, you're kind of in the funnel because they take the timestamp when you enter. Mm-hmm. And if you kind of get, I think when you're there, you need to stop.
Yeah. You can't, I think it's hard when it's a funnel and you can only fit one, like when they are literally like doing it manually per person, it's hard because there's not enough room. Whereas if you have like a whole finish line, it doesn't really matter because you've got space.
The issue is the funnel.
Yeah. But then they need the funnel.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's momentum based. If you have like really got your speed going that last 100 meters of an event and you are just trying to get to the line, then sometimes... Yeah. You know, you're always taught as a young athlete to run through the line, not to stop like on or before the line. I mean, this is more relevant if you're talking about hundredths of a second in a shorter distance.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if you've got that and then you just kind of keep going and end up, someone else has stopped and you pass them then that's probably a bit different than if you're, you know, dipping to get past that person and then, you know, pushing people out of the way and shouldering them and being quite physical. But if it's just your own momentum and you're not endangering anyone else, then it's probably okay, I think. But you can't like shoulder your way into a narrow finish funnel. If there's room for one person to cross that line there, then and you haven't managed to get in front of that person.
And what are your
50
thoughts?
Meters before
okay. And what are your thoughts on rugby tackles by the funnel?
If it's a close mate, go for it. If it was you, I'd be all over that.
All over, it's fine.
Rugby tackles on Rick Kelsey, any event.
Absolutely fine.
They are. Yeah, 100% okay.
Just nudging ahead at the finish line.
I think
line.
We've all done it though in like a racing situation where like if you're going for a personal best and you're in that last like sprint finish and there's someone just in front of you, it's excellent momentum to try and like unlock that extra little bit of speed, but don't endanger anyone else.
Next question from Ben from Melbourne. Is this Ben from Melbourne?
Podcast Ben.
Podcast Ben. Wow, Ben tagged me on Strava this week saying thanks for
mentioning. Oh, I saw that.
Nice. You're welcome, Ben.
Yeah.
With two kids and a more difficult life than Rick.
It's not hard.
You mean you managed to do your morning routine without putting caviar anywhere near your face?
Rick has the help come in.
Oh my God.
Car ready, waiting for him.
Yeah, yeah.
With a big sign that says Rick on it so he doesn't miss it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
I like it when they do the eye with it as a circle.
Oh, a heart. Yeah, love heart.
Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
Okay, how do I make taking my dog for a run on a leash count in my training program? He runs quickly, then drags behind, then stops for a poo, and after 30 minutes, he walks. I have to walk him twice a day because it was my decision to get him. And I can't tell him to do anything different because he's 40 kilograms. Help. Love me and Joey. Joey.
Oh, hey, Joey. So my dog is similar, very, very similar. And then actually I saw someone at this weekend when I was running.
Yeah.
And their dog had stopped for a poo and they were absolutely fuming.
Furious. Stop your watch.
They were just there with a poo bag waiting for their dog to finish. Like, ugh. I would just say you've got to make it count as an easy run and you've got to I don't know what the rules are in Australia for like letting.
I think you still got to pick up dog poo.
How do I make taking my dog for a run on leash? No, sorry, not that. I was going to say like on leash versus off leash.
I think you still get fined.
No, definitely pick it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if you could do it as an off lead run, then that would be the dream because then your dog can just run at its own pace and catch up with you. That's how I've had the most success with my dog if I'm doing like an easy 4K.
Ben's dog looks like a werewolf. I mean, literally has that much hair.
It's like the big, huge. Big shaggy Dulux dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other paint brands available. I think he should do, I think you should take a leaf out of the Rick Kelsey school.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should just hire someone to deal with this for you.
Take your PA with you on the run so they pick it up for you.
Yeah,
and then they've got to catch you up with the dog.
Yeah, and then if the dog stops and it's 40 kilograms, then you just carry on with your run and then...
Hand it to the PA.
In fact, you get your in-laws to do all of this, don't you?
Wait, I've got...
You fly them over from Canada, treat them to a meal out at Tim Hortons, which you tell them only exists in one town in the whole of the UK.
Harlow in Essex.
And then you say, can you look after the kids? I'm going out.
Yeah.
Or, as another option...
You know me so well.
Yeah.
Could he get a little running buggy for Joey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then when Joey...
40 kilograms, that's a big
kid. It wouldn't be a little one. It would be one of those 1980s prams.
Could you get a forklift truck?
Yeah, shopping trolley for Joey.
Oh my gosh, you can make the news. Man runs 5K with shopping
trolley. Lots of thoughts there. Lots of thoughts.
Good luck, Ben. Let us know how you get on. I think that was really useful advice from us.
Well, that was fun. Sarah, do you have a favour to ask?
I do have a favour to ask. There have been loads of good debates coming in, so thank you so much for that. I've actually got one lined up as a question for next week. This week's favour is... What should we get Andy to do after he's finished this all-out time trial shenanigans? I feel like we need to have something that he's training for. So between now and his marathon at the end of the year, what should we make him do? All questions greatly received.
Make me do.
Thanks. Make him do.
Yeah.
I think you'll love it. If we sign you up for a race, you'll go really annoyed and then you'll get really into it.
That is generally the theme of the last year or so. I'm like, no, I'm not doing a marathon. Okay, yeah, I'm doing a marathon. Oh, I'm super into this. Yeah, okay,
love
fine.
The marathon.
Okay, hit me. What do you want me to say?
Look, I've already convinced
something involving cross-training here, I feel.
Ooh,
not running.
Which potentially we might be covering next week.
Ooh, yep. Exciting.
See you then.
This episode was brought to you by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which has a focus on both comfort and endurance. So an ultra springy, responsive feel that protects your legs and keeps them feeling fresh, which is what Jess has been putting to the test as she's been training for over the last 12 weeks for taking on her ultimate ever 10K. And she's been focused on consistency. So being able to show up with those fresh legs every day and every week in order to put in the work and the recovery that she needs to do to run her best.
If you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.